Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. It's Tuesday, so Charles T. Hamilton will join me for another breakdown of a draft prospect. Only this week's Target Tuesday episode is a little different in that we will be taking a look at several prospects the Warriors could take in the second round of next week's draft.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Charles, thanks for joining me on today's show. We have our final installment of our Target Tuesday series that we've been doing for months, breaking down different draft prospects that the Warriors can take in November 18th's draft. And most of it has been all about guys that they can take at number two. But the Warriors have two picks in the second round coming up, number 48 and number 51. And rather than spend an entire show just on one second-round pick, because I don't think it's all that interesting, I thought we would just put a list together of guys that we think that the Warriors could or should target in the second round. Let's just go through them until we're done here. Charles, I'll hand it to you first. Who's one of the guys that you're looking at in the second round?
Let's do it. This is kind of where I get excited. I mean, the draft is exciting regardless, but I think this is where you find guys that can help fill out your roster, where you find some role players. And obviously you might find a gem like Draymond Green or a Eric Paschal.
Yeah.
You know, we'll wait to see what happens with him, but he definitely outplayed his draft position. So there are a couple guys I want to look at who could probably go between 30 and 40. I know the Warriors pick at 48 and 51, but they have a history of buying picks in the 30s or trading up to pick in the 30s. So I think there are guys that they might be looking to target in that range. And the first one is Jordan Wara. I hope I'm saying that right. N-W-O-R-A. Nawara, Wara, either way. He's a forward out of Louisville, 6'8", 225. He is a shooter. I mean, that's all there is to it. That's what he's being looked at for. That's what he'll be drafted for. He is a three-point shooter, 40% over 2 years, just under 40% last year, 39.4. Has the size that you like, is a guy who can probably be slotted in at the four because he does lack some athleticism, but big enough to play the four, especially in today's NBA. Like I said, 6'8", 225, has some athleticism. He's not exactly Doug McDermott, but he's also, you know, not Derek Jones or anyone, but he has the jumper, clean, 81% free throw shooter. That's a guy who can come in and contribute almost immediately, especially in today's NBA. And there's been rumblings with, I think the exact way people put it was with Duncan Robinson's performance throughout this year and in the playoffs, that a guy like Jordan Wara, where, look, he can shoot and he's big. Like, what else do we need? Why are we overthinking this? That he could potentially sneak into the first round. I do think he still falls to the second, but I do think between 30 and 40 is where he'll be. And again, with the need for wings and a potential stretch big, I know probably prefer a stretch five over a stretch four, but that's him.
Yeah.
So he's one I've got an eye on for sure.
I like the pick here. Look, I don't know if he's necessarily Duncan Robinson.
No,
but he I'm looking at just some of the scouting reports, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched a minute of Jordan Nora play for Louisville, but you could see the draw, why he would drop in the second round is he's 22 years old, right? Mm-hmm. He's a junior. And the Warriors in the past, just last year with Eric Paschal, have shown a willingness to go ahead and draft upperclassmen despite their age if they think that they can help immediately. And the Warriors are going to take their big swing at number two, right, with what they do with that number two pick. They've got a couple second-round picks that if they want to use them, they're going to need to get guys who can contribute immediately. They don't have the roster spots available to use on projects like Alan Smalley-Geach anymore. They don't. If this player is going to make the roster, they need to win that job in training camp. And you don't have enough time to develop into what you're going to be in training camp. You need to be good now when you win in training camp. The Warriors have 13 guys under contract. They're going to have 14 just because of the number two pick. You assume that they're going to use that 15th spot on some sort of veteran or trade for somebody with a trade exception and anything like that. They just don't – like, it's not even – we're not even sure they're going to have that the guy with the 48th pick or the 51st pick – are going to be on the roster next year. So I think where you're starting here with Jordan Wara is exactly what we need to be thinking of with the Warriors. It might be fun to look at guys with this high upside project type players, but the chances of those guys even being on the team at all are really slim. They're going to, like I said, going to have to win this job in training camp. And a guy like Jordan Orr, I think, could. I'm looking at some of his scouting reports and stuff here and his size. It's 6'7", 220. He's a three-point shooter, a good rebounder, a stout enough defender, according at least to this sort of stuff. Maybe like a Daniel House type, House Jr. type. I mean, that's a nice player to have in your rotation. That's something that you can work with. So I think that's a nice player.
No question. And I mean, you talked about the age. I think that's such a mistake that NBA teams make, you know, not that he will become Malcolm Brogdon or Draymond Green or Devontae Graham or any of these guys, but like those are reasons why those guys fall out of the first round just because they're 22 and you get a useful player immediately. And in other cases, you get guys who become all-stars.
Yeah. And then one other point here where you're talking about that they've shown a track record to move up in drafts and maybe buy picks in sort of that range. You could potentially move up and grab guys with these two picks, right? Like you could package 48 and 51 and move up. Now, I don't know what team would be willing to do that. I mean, when you talk about numbers 48 and 51, the success rate at that part of the draft is very, very slim. Mm-hmm. But you could see a team like the 76ers who have two picks in the second round at number 34, number 36, and a really bloated cap sheet. Yeah. If they want to move back and say trade number 36 for numbers 48 and 51, and at 48 and 51, just take a couple of drafts and stash guys who aren't going to affect their cap sheet, they could do that. And by the way, the Warriors could do that.
Yeah, but different kind of salary dump, kind of.
Different kind of, exactly. And then the Warriors would obviously be consolidating two salaries into one and moving it up from two picks to one pick higher up in the second round. So they do have the ammunition to possibly move up, or like you said, just outright buy the pick, which I don't think that they're going to do. I actually don't see that many pick purchases happening just with all the revenue stuff happening. But
yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of teams might be offering those second round picks, and so maybe a team will do it.
Exactly. An opportunity, like I'm saying, an opportunity to take advantage of in this weird NBA season.
All right, I want to take a quick break here and then get to the guy that I'm looking at who I think makes a ton of sense for the Warriors at center. This is Locked On Warriors. Whether it's for your mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-take 1.5-ounce packages are great to put in your briefcase for the most focused presentation you'll ever give. You could put it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Plus, it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work so well? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is the fast absorbing protein that's easy on the stomach. It promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better and feel better. Plus, it's loaded with all this great stuff to ignite my workout. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, B6, B12, all these crazy things that you need to have in order to get through the day. So here's the offer. Visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. All right, we're going through here kind of talking about some of the second-round picks that interest us, guys that maybe the Warriors could or should be taking in that second round. And the other guy I'm looking at, too, who I think is going to go higher up in the second round, kind of like your guy, Charles, is Xavier Tillman from Michigan State. I mean, first of all, the obvious Draymond Green connection is there. I think that stuff matters. But when you look at guys that the Warriors like to have at center, Xavier Tillman kind of hits all those notes. He's got a tremendous feel for the game. He's a great playmaking. I mean, he averaged three assists per 40 minutes. Three assists per game, 3.7 per 40 minutes at Michigan State. He's got, so you combine that playmaking, that passing ability, just throws really nice, crisp, accurate passes with that feel for the game. He's a high IQ type of player who at 6'8 with a 7'1" wingspan, he could score at the rim. He can rebound well. And so I like that he could be sort of a plug and play type guy and just kind of soak up some minutes there with, I think, the upside of, hey, with a few years in the league and you get a little bit more savvy and start really leaning into that kind of high basketball IQ stuff, I think you could become like a real factor for a team like the Warriors. You're not going to build around him, but he could be a fulcrum of your offense at center, like David West was, like Andrew Bogut was, like Zaza Pachulia was, because he might be one of the best playmaking centers in this draft. And he's right now mocked in the second round. He's a projected second round pick. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the age thing. I mean, he's over 21 years old. He was a junior at Michigan State, so there's questionable upside there. But like I said, I think that's a plus for the Warriors this time around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the only knock is he's 6'8", but that 7'1 wingspan does make up for it. He's switchable, solid rebounder for a guy his size. They need more centers. I mean, they just do. Even though we talked about, like, Marquese Chriss and Kevon Looney are going to be getting time, they still need someone else because Marquese Chriss is kind of a very specific type of player. And because Kevon Looney, you just can't trust him to stay healthy. And a center who can switch, even though maybe undersized, fits what the Warriors do. You know, we've talked about other centers who could play that drop scheme. You don't have to do that with this guy. The Warriors like to switch. This is a guy that can do it. I mean, it's just as simple as that, on top of the passing. Like, two main things the Warriors like to do with their bigs is play through them in the post, have them be able to make plays, and switch. And this is what that guy does.
Yep, I love him. All right, who's your next guy?
Sticking with center, this is another one who, again, somewhere in that 30 to 40 range, but could potentially even move up in the first round, and he kind of fits the need for a big center. It's Udoka Azubuike out of Kansas. He's a junior, about to turn 21, 7 foot. Was listed at 275, but at the combine last week, he came in at 260. He's got a 7'7-plus wingspan, broke the combine record for vertical leap for a center, which is pretty crazy for a guy his size. You know, he's an athletic marvel. He can be that lob threat. He was looked at as the best defender in college basketball last year before it, you know, ended abruptly. 3 blocks a game. Like, he is a guy who can come in and play the role that we talked about with James Wiseman, that floor. I think he can have a similar type of floor. Obviously not the same ceiling, but he's a guy that if he's there in the 30s, I think that's where you work hard to make a move to get him, because he comes in day one in a fit role where you know you can put him in. You can put him in against bigger guys, which is also something the Warriors are going to need. I think it's a little overstated about, like, looking at the Lakers and the Nuggets and, you know, teams with bigs, and you're going to need another big to battle them. Yeah, you'd like that, but, you know, basketball is won a number of different ways. Yeah. But he's a guy who can come in and be that massive, massive big man for you.
Yeah, and look, you're going to need guys in a defined role to do stuff like that. I mean, he's a non-factor, basically shooting or passing the ball, and he's really not even...
Or at the free throw line.
Or at the free throw line, and despite his size, I mean, you would even think that his percentages would be better. I mean, he's got a true shooting percentage of 68.5%, which is almost all right around the rim, but I think that teams are going to recognize with him on the floor, well, we don't have to respect him anywhere other than literally right at the rim. And so we're just going to sag off of him. And I don't know that he has the ball skills to get to his spot. And so I think that would be the issue with him. But the size and the athleticism there is definitely tantalizing. You look at guys that have been picked kind of in the second round over the last 2 years, or even as undrafted free agents. And for whatever reason, I'm talking about guys like Boban, guys like Taco Fall, who are just like, really, really raw as basketball players, but there's enough there to at least give them a chance. Guys have gotten jobs just because
there's
of that,
roles there,
because they're huge. And yeah, they play very, very defined roles, and they could be effective for a couple minutes per game, which I think is all you would be asking from a guy like him. My next guy here is Peyton Pritchard from Oregon. I think somebody who's been around for a long time, and kind of got college basketball famous. But look, he's sort of this type of guy who I think that the Warriors are going to like. He's a senior at Oregon. He's obviously not great size, 6'2", 6'4", wingspan, 190 pounds, but really, really tremendous 3-point shooter with a great track record there. 41.5% from three, last season. He's an 82% free throw shooter, and he can handle the ball. Like, he can run some offense for you. Five and a half assists per game. Ran Oregon's offense for the last few years. Just a really, you know, storied career there for them, for Oregon. And won a lot of games. And I think the Warriors tend to like guys like that. And if they feel like they could use a little bit more competition for guys like Kai Bowman and Michael Mulder and stuff like that, then bringing in Peyton Pritchard, even if you draft him in the second round and you really only intend to bring him in for a training camp invite, I think just his presence in training camp could make everybody around him better, because either he beats out Kai Bowman or he makes guys like Kai Bowman and Michael Mulder better, which can only help the Warriors roster. Now, I don't know if that's, if just that in and of itself is worth a second round pick, but I actually think he could do something at the NBA level. When you talk about guys who could just handle the ball, shoot threes, and just are super competitive, those kinds of guys tend to stick. They're not going to make all-star games, but they're going to be on a roster here and there. And I think the Warriors could have a use for a guy like Peyton Pritchard.
No, I like Peyton Pritchard. I would love to see him on the Warriors. It's one of these things, again, where we overthink it. You know, what doesn't he do? Okay, well, I'll tell you what he does do. He knocks down threes, he can handle, and he can pass. So what did he 6'2"? These are second-round picks. Can he be a role player? You know, in that first year, that'd be great. But eventually, can he be a role player? I think he definitely can, especially that shooting ability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mentioned the passing and ball handling. It's something that the Warriors need. And I think this is a situation where the Warriors might have to break their mold of finding a 6'6", 6'7 guy who can run the offense. You know, there's not a lot of them out there. If you find it, great. But if not, you're going to have to live with a guy like Peyton Pritchard, who I think is a solid player. And, yeah, I would definitely look at him in the second round for sure.
Yeah, guys like that tend to make rosters in the NBA, and it's just a question about whether or not the Warriors have space on their roster or not. Do you have more prospects?
I have one more in this range, and it's real simple, real quick. Isaiah Joe, shooting guard out of Arkansas. As you all know, I love shooters. That's what he is. He'd be drafted because he's a three-point shooter. He's got great stroke from pretty much anywhere on the floor. Definitely in that mold of like Steph, Jamal Murray, Damian Lillard, you know, not afraid to pull up from anywhere. Last year only shot 34%, but the year before was at 41. So even though the percentage fell, the stroke is there and the potential to be a knockdown shooter is there. I mean, he would come in and that's what he would do in that first year. There's more development that needs to be had, but I do think he's a guy that could come in and, you know, play that role for you in that first year.
There is a little bit of a Jacob Evans type vibe I get from him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough for me with Jacob Evans because, what do you mean? Cause Jacob Evans, I always looked at, I always thought was more of a defender, where I don't think there's much of a defender in Isaiah Joe right now.
Okay. Well, no, I think that, you know, you look at his size at 6'5", mm-hmm. His weight isn't, he's not super strong.
No, he's not.
Was productive, but kind of looks like this sort of plug-and-play role guy. But unless he's an absolute knockdown shooter, which he isn't, right? He's a 34% three-point shooter. You know, and he's not really a great ball mover. You know, didn't even average 2 assists despite playing guard for Arkansas. I mean, I'm like, all right, what does he really do?
Yeah, yeah.
At the NBA level?
It's contingent on the shot. If that – because the first – his freshman year was nice. Sophomore year, definitely not. Do you believe that – which year do you believe, basically? Mm-hmm. And so if he can't shoot, then, yeah, there's not much there for him. But if he is a shooter, like, there's – he's going to carve out a career just as a three-point shooter. And then, you know, who knows if he can develop any other skills. But if you can be a knockdown three-point shooter in the NBA, you can play for a long time.
Yeah. Is that the end of your list?
I've got guys. I got a lot of guys.
All right, let's do one or two more. Okay. But let's take a quick break here. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Charles, you mentioned you had a few more guys that you wanted to get to. One guy that I wanted to talk about, though, another center, and this will be my last center here, but Vernon Carey Jr. out of Duke. Mm. Freshman, and so he doesn't really fit that upperclassman type vibe, but He's 6'10" with a 7-foot wingspan. He's 270 pounds. Just a real throwback kind of guy.
Yeah.
Not going to give you a ton of stuff, but he's going to rebound the ball. He's a standstill type of shooter. Defensively, there's obviously concerns, but I like the size. I like the ability to stretch the floor a little bit. I mean, he shot, like I said, 38% from three-point range. He was only on 21 three-point attempts, but also shot 67% on free throws. So there's shades of maybe like a Brook Lopez type. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like him. If I'm picking 48, 51, I still need somebody to compete for minutes at center, I would give him a look.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's, if you can find a guy who can make the team at 48 or 51 and even, you know, get minutes here or there, that's a win. And you mentioned his size, his weight, they need a bruiser. They need a guy who can be physical down low, and he's definitely one of them.
And I liked watching him at Duke. I mean, when I would watch Duke games, I was like, that's a big dude who looks like he could play in the NBA. That matters to me. I mean, that's like the most basic version of the eye test. I understand that, but if we're talking about, again, the end of the second round, and that's kind of where he's projected, mid to late second round, then that's you don't really say that for a lot of guys projected in that range. Is, hey, that guy looks like he deserves to be on an NBA floor. Who's somebody that you have left on your list?
Well, I'll stick with my last center too, Nick Richards out of Kentucky. He's 7 foot, 250. Good athlete, 75% from the free throw line, which is big because not only does it speak to potentially being able to develop a jumper, but also you just need a big who can shoot free throws. That's a cheap way to kind of get a big off the floor, is the hack-a-shack, basically. So he's a guy, come in, be your lob threat, rim runner, run the floor for you immediately. And again, a guy who, low ceiling, high floor. And he also pretty solid rim protector. So just when you're trying to, I think, we've kind of shown that we've been trying to fill this center role for the Warriors for the entire run of this podcast. So they're going to be looking for him throughout the draft. And, a guy like Nick Richards or Vernon Carey at 48 or 51, I think is a win.
Let's just wrap it up with this prediction for what you think is going to happen in the second round.
Oh, my main prediction, they'll probably get a draft and stash guy. Abdullah Ndoye, I think is his name, a 6'7" point guard. Still needs some work, but again, fits the mold of what they like, and they can stash him overseas. I forget where he plays at right now, but he's playing overseas. He's 22, so they can stash him for another year or two. And then I don't know, because the tough part is with the G League potentially just not happening this year. I'd be surprised if it did. You can't really count on drafting a guy to play in the G League like Marcus Howard or someone, who would be a project. Right. So I think they probably make one second round pick, and I think they probably try and package these two to move up, even if it's just somewhere in the 40s or something, to try and consolidate that salary.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of hedge and say something similar to you. I think of these two picks, I think they come out of the second round with having made one selection in the second round, and maybe that player still is a draft and stash guy, or maybe that player is an upperclassman who they think could compete with some of the Juan Toscano-Andersons and Michael Mulders and Kai Bowmans in this group for a roster spot, and I would be probably more surprised if they ended up making both of these picks at 40.
Yeah, because the other thing, the two-way contract, I mean, they're still going to be quote-unquote two-way contracts, but if there's no G League going on, so then what are they doing on the days that they're not playing in the NBA,
playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, seriously.
Right.
Playing against, Leandro Barbosa and, whatever other assistant coaches are willing to go 5-on-5 or something.
Yep. All right. That'll do it for our second round breakdown. We will have the draft next week. I can't believe it's finally coming up, but
finally,
I can't wait for this to be over. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you here tomorrow morning.